Welcome to you all. It's lovely to be back with you after my retreat last week. And I'll tell you a little bit about the retreat a little bit later in this, and then also through the next few weeks. I just wanted to start by sharing that I'm sitting here with a beautiful bowl of roses. It's sort of the last flush of roses of the I think the last flush of roses at the moment, or we're going away as well. And roses, I actually used rose oil quite a lot on our retreat, and there was just roses. I'd taken some roses with us, which opened beautifully and were strong. And sorry, I'm just going to mute everyone. I've always had an affinity for roses, and roses are a symbol of divine love and of healing and heartbrokenness. And Pam, who's on this group, lost her husband Vui earlier this year, who is a dear. Sorry, you all disappeared. I thought I'd ended the meeting, but you're back. You're all here. It was me who disappeared. So Vui and Pam did a beautiful a remembrance thing for him on his birthday this Saturday, of planting a rose garden in his memory. And there's so much symbolism around a rose garden and our roses. So I share this with you because I've got these beautiful roses, and also because I actually, on retreat, a lot of the women I was with have oils and use oils, but they also say they don't feel that they use them to their optimum. And I thought I'd start to share a little bit more how I use them as well for those of you who have oils. And so I often, before meditating, will use rose or frankincense or black spruce. I've got my diffuser here. But whatever you're drawn to. And so if you have oils and you want to, I encourage you to use them now. I've just put on, I got from the Precious Florals collection that they did for Mother's Day, a little rose one and a little jasmine. So, but any oils that feel that you feel can ground you and support you and help to connect you to this time as well, so that when you use them at other times, they are support for you. So just to share that, and I'll share a little bit more as I go, a little bit more of, over the times, the oils that I love and why I find them supportive. But it was a full moon on Sunday, a full super moon actually, and I don't know if any of you felt, and if you did and you want to put anything in the chat, if any of you felt this increased energy. I mean, I struggled to sleep most of the week. Last night I slept for the first time again quite deeply, and it was a bit of a relief. So it would be interesting to know what your experiences are. But it's a full moon time is a time of very high energy, as we've discussed before, in the bush, in nature, in our lives, in the sea. You know, the spring tides are very marked. It's a potent energy and a full energy, and one can feel a bit tender and raw and vulnerable after a full moon like this. This talk, we don't really go into astrological stuff, and I'm not very clued up on it. It's something I've never really paid much attention to. But a friend of mine forwarded me Pam Gregory's little YouTube video, and she's an astrologer, and she brings together the stars and signs and things. She's actually very interesting. And she talked about the Aries equinox, which was last week on the last week on the 20th of March, last Saturday, which was actually the start of the astrological new year. And she says it's like a tuning fork. It's like a backdrop for the following 12 months, the themes that will play out in the next 12 months. And that there are lots of themes playing out and a lot around big new beginnings, everything about new beginnings. And the solstices, which was last week, and the equinoxes, are often peaks of energy on the earth. And all ancient traditions used to do a lot of their special ceremonies and rituals and services around the times of the solstices and the equinoxes because of their times of high energy. And she refers to a geologist, I'm going to be looking him up, Rory Duff, around a lot of this information. And it's we see it mirrored again in our religions. So Pesach, this is starting now, it's this time. Easter is this weekend. The start of Ramadan is within this month. So again, it's such a powerful energetic time. And Pam Gregory was saying that this is a time of a lot of our leadership and warrior energy, and because of what themes they are. And that are, she posed the question, are we the leaders of our lives? Or do we look to external cues? And even if we're in a corporate or a school where we have to follow external rules and external guidelines, we can set the tone for our own energy. So this next month is really about what tone we're setting in our lives. And she said, so that's the leadership energy, and then also the warrior energy. It's more the energy of being a crusader, of standing up for our principles and being a crusader for love and light. She says there are themes of assertion, asserting ourselves in anger, but it's all about moving forward. But it's more coming with this energy of love and light. And how we create, I think it's been clear in this last year, more than ever, this year of 2020 and 2020 vision, how we create our own reality through our thoughts and our emotions and our frequency, our body frequency. And we've seen this more, and just to bear this really in mind at this time. So this supermoon was a supermoon. You can watch Pam Gregory's got a couple of videos about this past supermoon and about what we're stepping into, which is the new moon on the 11th or 12th of April, which is that first new moon of the astrological new year. And it's all about strong themes of the old versus the new trying to be birthed, and control versus freedom. So, I mean, these are things that even if one's not even interested in this sort of thing, that these are themes in our lives at the moment. So it really is congruent. And so it's a powerhouse of time for energy and significant new beginnings, and our intuition is very heightened at this time. And our question we want to ask ourselves is, what came up for us at this full moon? Like, what were the themes playing out over this past weekend? What was there anything that came up for us? And what are we wanting to release as the moon wanes, as the moon goes to the new moon? And this is a time for releasing things. And sort of what wisdom are we wanting to integrate into our lives? So I have a lot to work with, because on retreat, a lot comes up. And you look at yourself in the face and you talk to yourself, because we couldn't talk for 6 days. And so there's a lot of self-reflection and noticing our patterns. So I'm seeing the patterns I'm wanting to release in my life. So, so I'd love to continue sharing more about the retreat, but I want to start with something that I think the premise is, a big basis of the retreat was, because mindfulness is a secular practice. It's independent of any religious affiliation. It's practiced in hospital settings, school settings, and it's designed like that, so that it's that it's inclusive and not exclusive. But a lot of the original practice stems quite strongly from a Buddhist lineage. And if we are going to be teachers, we need to understand that and honor that lineage, and just not necessarily take an understanding of it into our practice and our teachings. And so that I want to just share the Four Noble Truths with you, and it's not something one can share in a minute, but I'm going to, but we'll be expanding on it. And the first noble truth, and we've discussed this before, it will be familiar with those of you who've been here before, is that there is suffering. And it's not a personal thing, but there's suffering. There's suffering for us all. There's pain, there's hardship, there's sadness. And in our Western philosophy, we feel like we have a right to joy, and that life should, well, right to happiness, and that life should be happy and easy. And when it's not, we take it personally, and we feel personally affronted often. And yet that there is suffering is just such almost a releasing thing, because we all are going to suffer. That we've never been promised differently. This is not so. It's a really premise to understand that there is pain and suffering in this world and in this life, and we are no different personally. We will experience it too. And then the second noble truth is that there is a cause to that suffering. And the cause to that suffering, so a nice way of understanding this is that the pain is our first arrow. So the pain of the loss, or the pain of the disability, or the sadness, or the pain of the actual, or the suffering of the actual experience. But the second arrow is what we attach to that. So it's our rationalizing that shouldn't have happened. How could this have happened like this? This shouldn't be like this. And our fighting and our resisting, the Buddhists call it our clinging and our non-clinging, our attachment or our non-attachment, our view of how life should be and how we sort of don't accept things as they are. And that adds that second layer of suffering and is the cause of our suffering. So if we can release that, and this is what this practice is all about, is releasing those judgments in our minds and just accepting just the first arrow is the first sadness and suffering, rather than layering it with that second arrow. So then the third noble truth is that there is a path to release that suffering. And the Buddhists call it an Eightfold Path, but we know this is a path that releases that suffering, is that letting go, which is so much easier said than done, but it's what we're practicing now. It's our mindfulness practice, it's our letting go practice, it's our being with things as they are, and we'll explore this much more in due course. It's our acceptance. It's like Christ in Christian religions, how Christ accepted his fate. It's our acceptance. And then the fourth noble truth is that nothing is permanent, that everything changes, that the pain that we have in our back here today, although it feels like it will always be here and it's this terrible affliction, there's going to be a time when it's not there. And our losses and things, we move through different times of different suffering and pain and joy. And I mean, a lot of this is actually when we can follow these, there's actually a natural affinity for joy and happiness that comes out of it, but it doesn't come through the seeking and the striving just for the pleasure and the happiness. So life is a full body experience. We live it through our bodies. And our instructions often through our course on the day was just do nothing that takes you out of your body. And stay with your body with everything you do. And it sounds so simple because obviously we all have bodies. But it's not, because you start to realize how much time we spend in our heads and how much time we spend sort of detached from our bodies. And that's what we're doing in our mindfulness practice, is that we're coming back to our body and coming back to the intuition and the wisdom and the processing of our bodies. So I just thought I'd share that with you. And then one of the poets I was introduced to, who I had never actually heard of, and he's got some beautiful poetry, is Jeff Foster. And so I'm going to read you this poem, and this is what we're going to do now, is sitting together, and then I invite you to either just soften your gaze or to close your eyes and just let the words land as we settle into our practice. Let me just get my singing bowl as well. Just sensing a settling in your body as you close your eyes or drop your gaze. We will sit for hours together and let the scenery of life break our hearts into millions of tiny little pieces. And then we will watch, astonished, as in the space between two heartbeats, the very same scenery fuses those pieces back together again, as if we've been kissed by life. And then we will go for a coffee, or do the dishes, or pick up the kids from school, or dance in celebration of the fullness of things, our hearts pregnant with bittersweet mystery. So I invite you to sit a moment. We'll sit together and let the scenery of life break our hearts into millions of tiny little pieces. Just allowing your attention to settle. Feeling your energy dropping. Perhaps as a leaf will drift down and drop onto the surface of a pond. Just sensing that energy of dropping into your body. Keeping a upright dignity, noticing, allowing your feet to rest on the ground, either in a chair or seated on a cushion on the floor, noticing the grounding that the earth gives you, how the earth supports you. And perhaps making small adjustments to your body so that you can sense not only the earth grounding you, but perhaps a slight reaching in your body up towards the heavens, a slight expansiveness in your body. Making gentle adjustments to allow for this. Just an elongation of your neck and shoulders, your body, your torso. As you feel yourself poised between both earth and heaven, supported and held by both earth and heaven. And perhaps just scanning gently through your body, just noticing any points of tension or tightness, areas where you may be holding a little bit more than you need to, perhaps your forehead and around your eyes, or maybe it's in your jaw or your throat. Perhaps you might find a little bit of tension in your shoulders, in your chest and heart space. Just noticing it and allowing a gentle softening. Scanning through, noticing your belly, your pelvis, your seat. Noticing if there's any holding or tension there. And if there is, just inviting a gentle softening just for this moment. Just an allowing. Keeping our uprightness and our strength of sitting, but allowing the softness of belly, a softening of our tensions. And noticing into your hips, your legs, your ankles, your feet. Noticing if there's any holding on, any guarding, any protection. Body trying to hold your body safe, still, tight. Just noticing it with a gentle friendliness. Letting go. Letting go of that moment of controlling. Letting go of that moment of holding. And just allowing your body just to be. And then I invite you just to follow your breath in the next few moments as we just keep a moment of silence. Perhaps you find it easier to connect with your breath at your nostrils, in your nose, in the throat, or the chest, or the belly. Wherever you feel your breath most acutely, most intensely, just sitting in that place and feeling your breath. And if your mind wanders, which minds will do because we're human, just gently bringing it back towards your breath. And even if you can only hold your attention there for just one breath, just noticing that it's moved away and just bringing it back to the next breath. And now, wherever your attention has been settled, just allowing it to drop to your heart space, sensing into your breath around your heart or the beating of your heart, this life force energy that sits in our chest. And perhaps offering that gentleness of a gentle smile into the heart space. Just connecting with how you find your heart today. But perhaps just allowing a gentle softening. A gentle smile if that's accessible. If not, just holding it with tenderness. Just sitting in your body and in your heart space for just these few moments. Perhaps sensing whether your heart has a texture, a color, a weight. Noticing any sensations that sit here and around. Not with an attitude of judgment, how it should or shouldn't be, but just of noticing, of kind attention. And if it feels available to you, inviting yourself, perhaps an image or a feeling of yourself into your heart space, a connection with gratitude and blessing. Not thinking it in your mind, but just having that sensation in your body. Holding yourself tenderly. And perhaps now, in this moment, you'd like to invite other loved ones, people close to you, perhaps someone having a difficult time, someone that you wish to wish well, perhaps even or someone you want to let go of the attachment to the dynamic in the relationship. Again, not thinking, just holding. Holding in heart space. And then allowing that image or sensation just to drift up like a balloon might drift into the air. Just sitting with yourself again for this moment. We will sit for hours together and let the scenery of life break our hearts into millions of tiny little pieces. And then we will watch, astonished, as in the spaces between two heartbeats, the very same scenery fuses those pieces back together again, as if we've been kissed by life. As if we've been kissed by life. And then we'll go for a coffee, or do the dishes, or pick up the kids from school, or dance in celebration of the fullness of things, our hearts pregnant with bittersweet mystery. And then with the sound of the singing bowl, gently, kindly bringing ourselves back to where we found ourselves. As you do, just gently opening your eyes if they've been closed and just taking in the morning light, the colors, the textures, the feeling of the world around you today. And I wish you a blessed day today as you go out into the world and a blessed week. And we'll see you next Tuesday. I'll be away the next few weeks, but I'll still be doing my mindful moments, but I probably won't be sending reminders or poems. I might, but it's always on, and you can just do a search on your chat to see the link if needed. Thank you all. Thank you for coming. And if you'd like to unmute, or I'd love to just hear any of your thoughts. If you need to go, please go. And if you want to stay and just say anything that comes to your heart or that you experience or anything like that, I'd love to hear that too. So you can put in the chat or feel free to unmute. Thank you. Thank you, Tess. Thanks, Ruth. So Ruth said she's never slept the whole of last week and eventually used Vetiver, which is a powerhouse for me. Inhaled it from my wrist, so powerful. Have stopped sleeping longer hour by hour, night by night. Yeah, Vetiver is from a grass, and it's that feeling of lying on the grass. And, you know, just decompressing on the grass, which I love too. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Nat. Thanks for the comments in the chat.
Nikki, I shared it with someone who doesn't sleep. And he said immediately on inhaling it, he said it reminds me of lying on the forest floor.
Did he?
Which was so interesting.
Our bodies know. We connect. We have a deep, we have our wisdom when it's not clouded by all our stuff in our head. How interesting. Thank you.
Very interesting.
Thank you
for this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nikki.
Well, thanks, Chris. Nice to see you.
Bye.
Thanks, Nick.
Have a nice time away.
Thank you. Yeah, I will do. Are you away?
Yes, we are. We are. So,
looking
forward. Off into the bush, which will be nice.
And the bush is just such a place to be mindful because your senses are so absorbed, and it's just one does live much more in the moment. So enjoy it and watch the moon. check our changes and how the energy of the bush changes. I love doing that.
No, especially in the bush. Yeah, that'll be great. And you're going to be at the beach.
Yeah, we'll be in St. Francis. Good calm within December.
Enjoy. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Chris. Nice to see you.
Bye.
Bye.